Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. It's good to see you all here. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and we have Thursday, May 4th, 2023. This is the first Sunday of May. This is our World Peace Zoom meditation call. We call it a satsang, which is a gathering of truth seekers. And Madeline is here also in the background. So thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll go ahead and get started. The piece you just heard, if you were listening to the music, it's kind of an interesting background. That's called the Song of B Flat. You might have heard it was... But it's that B flat. The teaching is from the Islands of Light. And the teaching is that, and I think it kind of goes along with everything we're focusing on here, is that that one note by itself doesn't have very much power, right? It's kind of an allegory. Like if I just only played B flat all the time, it would get pretty tiring. But the idea is that the power of that B flat note comes from two things. One is that it's true to itself, right? It's being actually being a B flat, not trying to be an A or a B, being a B. And even though it might have been told when it was a little baby note that B flats don't get anywhere in the world, you really should be a B or an A or an A flat or something else. But no, it's being a B flat. And so that's one reason it has the power to touch us and move us in the piece. And the other reason it has power is from all the other notes. So that's, I think, a very important point, that when we're alone and isolated as a separate self, we don't have a whole lot of power in that sense. But really, in community and in harmony with each other, we can create beautiful music if each person plays their own note. And we don't have to try to be better than others, but just in the unique sound that we each make, the unique song that we sing, the unique dance that we do in life, encourages everybody else to find their own unique expression as well. So that's the backstory on that piece you just heard, Song of B Flat. It's from the Islands of Light CD, which is the CD that accompanies the book on developing intuition that I wrote called Your Inner Islands, Keys to Intuitive Living. And the basic idea really is to try to incorporate a meditative way of being in the world as we go about our daily lives, and whether it's our relationships or our career, our activism, our food choices, you know, all of it, really, it's hard to get anywhere in a positive direction, I think, if we have not connected with our intuition, with our inner guidance system. So we wrote that book to kind of give an allegory, crossing from this shore to the other shore, of how we can cultivate and develop our intuition. All right, so we'll go ahead and get started with our meditation. Thank you all for joining us. It looks like we've got everybody who's supposed to be here is here. If you're not supposed to be here, I guess you're not here. But there may be more coming. Thanks for coming from far away. I see all kinds of time zones represented, all the way from 3 hours behind us to maybe, I don't know, what, 8 hours ahead of us. Which is fantastic. So good. So we'll go ahead and get started, and I'll do the more or less thing here, which is that we do a meditation for a certain amount of time. I don't know how long. It's a little bit longer than the one on the third Thursday, and then we open it up for any comments or questions you have. We're not getting into so much worldly issues and politics and things like that, like we do on the third Thursday. This is more focusing on the spiritual dimension of our being. So, all right, here we go. We're back home, as you probably all remember, and we're here in front of Yuma, the great grand piano. I guess the best grand piano in the universe. All right, so we'll begin. Let's become aware of our breathing. Mm-hmm. breath now, and as we exhale, letting go of any thoughts, just letting go of any thoughts, being aware of our breath as it comes and goes. The precious breath, connecting us with every other breathing living being. All the human beings, all the animals, the birds, and the fishes, even the fishes are breathing with their gills. All the insects are breathing, and all the trees are also breathing. We can give a special nod of appreciation and gratitude to all the green beings. We call them the silent green witnesses, the trees and flowers, the bushes, and beautify our world, witnessing silently the whole drama. They exhale oxygen while we inhale oxygen. They inhale carbon dioxide as we exhale carbon dioxide. We could not breathe without the trees. One life, one great life, one great magnificent life. Just letting go of any concerns, knowing that in 150 years it won't bother us, whatever it is. Abiding in this present moment. The only holy moment. This present moment. Allowing our minds to open. Allowing our hearts to open, abiding in this moment in harmony with every living being. We are always in harmony with every living being. Even if there's someone that we're not in harmony with, we can remember how after a dramatic performance on the stage, when two actors are fighting with each other, after the play they go backstage and they congratulate each other on how well they played their roles. We're all good friends. Sometimes the challenges and the conflicts are a gift to rouse us to a higher level. Maybe we've been disconnected. Maybe we've been unmindful. Maybe it's time to have a new realization of the truth that we are. Maybe this is the time for the whole human family to awaken out of the delusion of separateness and fear of nature and animals, of each other, of life. So we allow our mind and heart to dwell in peace and harmony with all beings, with ourself also, with the unique and beautiful being that looks back at us in the mirror. Sure. big and the small, the tiny, the infinite webs of communities, of microorganisms and little tiny insects, everything infinitely complex mandala and symphony of celebration. Generations, the hurting delusion, the competition delusion, the separateness delusion, the fear and anger delusion. And we see that what we are is a being of light. That was never born and will never die. Like all living beings, we are essentially a being of light. Consciousness. And we know now that everything in our life that is not in harmony, whether it's in our body or in our affairs or relationships, in our mind, is now freed into harmony, joy, abundance, and peace for the benefit of all living beings. Because we are here on this earth to help create a world of compassion and freedom and joy and abundance. Create beauty, to fulfill our mission, breathing, knowing that ultimately, we have no one to please, no one to prove ourselves to. That our being is magnificent and sufficient. There's no need to impress anyone about anything. Give thanks for the great enlightened teachers on this earth, both men and women, who shine their light, who radiate the wisdom of compassion into our world. We give thanks for all of the teachers, their great contribution. We give thanks to all the teachings to all the communities dedicated to enlightenment and to wisdom, joy and freedom. We see now the whole infinite interconnected web of communities. Some large communities, some only two or three. All interconnected in a web of light, bringing peace to this earth, revealing the peace that is always here. So abiding now in our true home, abiding in love, every breath radiating loving kindness and benevolence in all directions to all living beings. Abiding in loving kindness. Abiding in compassion with every breath. Radiating compassion to all living beings, wherever there is suffering, we send empathy and a yearning to help relieve the suffering, to awaken, able to relieve the suffering of all living beings. Abiding in our true home of compassion. And now with every breath we connect with our true home of joy. Joy, wonderful bubbling spring at the very core of our being that's always present. At every moment, we can access the joy that is always shining in our consciousness. It is the truth of our being. The joy channel is always available. Needs no reasons. We can go there anytime. In the big picture, we send joy to all beings. And abide in joy. Sky, radiant, like the sun, sending forth light, the light of joy and healing, of life, to all beings no matter what. And finally we connect with the inner peace and harmony that is always present as the truth of our being. And with every exhalation, we allow this peace to fill our heart, to fill every organ, to fill our entire physical body, and to radiate from our body in ever-expanding spheres of light, filling our whole room with the light of peace and harmony, our entire home, wherever we are right now, the whole neighborhood. The whole town.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us and for participating in our meditation. You are all contributing by your being, so I really appreciate that. So it's always interesting to hear what wants to come through. And I'm happy to respond to any comments or questions anyone may have. One of the things I wanted to talk a little bit about, and just see how it goes here, just briefly, is the idea of meditation. Because I think, again, meditation is something that's kind of considered an un-American activity, and kind of a suspicious activity. And so I want to just say that I think it's really the foundation of everything in many ways. And what I mean by meditation is not some necessarily any particular form, but just the underlying idea of a practice where we bring our attention into the present moment in a relaxed and focused way, where we're not being distracted by our thoughts or by what's going on around us, where we're not trying to change anybody or change ourselves or change anything, where we're witnessing and watching and observing and aware. And we're taught in our society to never do that. You know, we're taught to always be critical or judge or try to change or to be in the past or the future. And sort of the mind is continually brewing and interpreting everything. And so it's very easy to get lost in our mind. I think that's the thing. We end up in our society really lost in our mind because of animal agriculture, I think, is the main thing. Because animal agriculture, after 10,000 years, that's 400 generations of people. We've been passing this on for 400 generations of being separate from and superior to animals and nature. And so this basic feeling of just being different and disconnected and then having to compete with each other and turning everything into a commodity and seeing everything as matter and selling beings by the pound, you know, that by millions of times every day, we're living in that milieu. And that's a milieu of disconnectedness and really a lot of suffering. So we're all wounded by that. It's unavoidable. Just being born in a hospital or even not in a hospital and being raised and going to school and seeing television and the whole technology. And the very first technology was really human beings figuring out how they could dominate animals more effectively and breed them and so forth. And so we've created a technology, a science, basically, of domination and control of nature and of the feminine. It's really about dominating the feminine aspect of, which is the life-giving, receptive part of ourselves, of all of us. And so these are deep wounds. And so the thing is that what we are, I think, is a being. We come here, and in order to help heal what's going on here and also to continue on our mission of the being that we are, we need to really pay attention and understand what's going on and not allow the cultural program to take over our mind and have those thoughts that are being blasted out through the television and the media and through the educational system and the government and the corporations and the financial institutions and the doctors and the whole thing. It's all based on lies. We really have to understand that at a deep level. And then we don't have to hate anybody or be angry about it. Just understand that this is the situation. It's been brewing and developing for 400 generations. And the thing is, we've gotten to the point now where it's really time for us to make the big healing, the big jump, the big awakening. And so I think going vegan is really the foundation. I mean, that's once we say no to that, which is really saying yes to compassion and kindness, then we have the beginning. We're just at the beginning, though. A lot of people think at that point it's done. And so meditation is what I think really can bring us along, because having a regular practice of just listening and having our mind be quiet is so helpful. And I think the main problem we have in our society with meditation is we have this idea that I have this time set aside for meditation. I do it for whatever we think, you know, like an hour in the morning or half an hour in the morning or half an hour in the afternoon, whatever it is. So then I'm meditating, and then the rest of the time I'm not meditating. So that's a big problem. It's really important to integrate the time when I feel like I'm meditating and all the other time, so that the flavor of meditation, this idea of sort of watching and witnessing and being aware and conscious, goes into when I'm looking at emails, when I'm listening to people, what they're saying, when I'm driving the car, when I'm shopping, you know, all these different things. Because if I don't, then it's two things happen. One is that the regular daily life, when it's not lived in a meditative way, our emotions are going up and down and left and right and here and there, and so we are reacting, and very often we're creating karma that is not the greatest. I mean, we're creating karma, we're creating conflict, and creating situations that have consequences. Everything has a consequence. Whatever we do has a consequence. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is, when we sit to meditate, it's hard. It's much harder to meditate because we've been kind of scattered, you know, the whole other time, the other 23 and a half hours or whatever. And so when we go to sit and meditate, we're still kind of going the same way. So it's really important to try to bring a meditative attitude as soon as we get up in the morning. Try to have that feeling of giving thanks for another day, being aware, and do something, however you want to do it, like make a vow or have an intention or just have this feeling or give thanks that today is another day to learn and grow and awaken and discover more about my mind, my true nature, and to serve and make a contribution here on this earth. And it's not going to go on forever. That's guaranteed. We only have a few days. We have 1,440 minutes every day. That's nice. We get 1,440 minutes. And then we get 365 days in a year, and then we get maybe a few decades, and then we're gone. So what are we doing while we're here? And the thing I think that's so important nowadays especially is that we live in such challenging times, we tend to think that the problems are outside of us. And if people would just act better, and if Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and Fauci and whoever it is, or whoever your boogeyman is, or Donald Trump or whatever, if they would just change and be better, then gosh, you know, my life would be so much better. But you know, we have to understand that the outer world is really, when things go seemingly more challenging, that should give us more motivation to rise up to a higher level, to even see more clearly and be more committed to the path of truth and compassion and awakening. And comfort is not necessarily a good thing. You know, we like to be comfortable. We like the temperature to be great, and we like people to be nice to us, and we like everybody to say wonderful things about us all the time. And I don't know if that's a good idea, because in the big picture, very often, in fact, there's sayings like this in the Buddhist tradition and in many traditions, that those who criticize us, we should give thanks for them 1,000 times, because that's how we learn and grow, or we can see our reaction. You know, when we feel like we've been unjustly criticized, the ego just rises up right there. Boom. Wow. I feel self-righteously angry. And that's, just interesting to watch that, because what is it that's rising up at that moment? What is it that's defending itself, defending its territory? This is something we all experience. It's pretty much impossible not to have that experience, because that's just what happens. But the idea is that when that happens, or if we get afraid, we see someone taking away our health or our freedom, or we're going to lose it, we get afraid. And so, again, what is it that rises up and has those feelings? And meditation is really, in many ways, a discipline of paying attention, just paying attention and attending not just to what's happening, but to the arising and watching the being. And in the Buddhist tradition, which I think is really essentially very similar to all traditions, the idea is that if we look really carefully, we'll see that this thing that's reacting all the time, this me that I consider myself, is not a solid object. It's not a thing. It's that was born and will die. We wrongly identify with that thing, that a body and the mind and the collection that we've accumulated, and we like it or we don't like it, or we like parts of it and we don't like other parts of it. And we have this whole relationship with this self that we think we are. And we're trying to change other people, and they're trying to change us, and they're trying to change parts of us. You know, we have this is all going on. But the whole idea is to see that it's not that solid. It's actually, when you try to grab it, it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. You know, it has this huge drama. But then you go in there and you find there's this little man, and he's just standing there talking. You know, it's kind of an illusion. And then if you go even deeper into that, it's even less. I mean, it's really interesting. But this is the kind of thing we can't really convey in words. It's really something that we can discover, I think, in meditation. When our mind gets quiet, then we can realize directly that what we think we are, and that what we're defending and trying to get through the world and impress everybody or whatever it is, that's really a mask in a sense. That's the personality. Remember the word personality. You know, persona. Persona, per, through, sona, sound. It literally means mask. It's literally our mask. So this personality, this self, is the mask that we tend to take as real. And so we get to find out what's actually behind the mask. That's the great Zen koan. What is your original face? So anyway, meditation, I think, really has to be seen in that light, really the foundation of living a life where we're connecting with something that's more authentic and real, beyond the mask, beyond the self that is always sort of stealing the present moment by having all of its judgments and fears and desires and so forth, and then connect with the actual being. So I'm not sure if that's helpful, but I felt like that's important to say, because it seems like right now we're seeing this in our world, all this divisiveness and people judging more and more strongly on things that are really relatively surface level, like political opinions or medical opinions, people fighting over these things, and to see the actual beings and be able to speak our truth but listen to each other. And it's because I think we're in more fear, and we've lost that meditative approach. So it doesn't mean that we don't speak our truth, but it does mean that we're always listening to what's really going on inside of us, and also to other people as well. All right. So does anyone have anything you'd like to feel free to either? I think what you can do is, if you go to the bottom of the screen, if you're there, you can click on reactions and raise your hand, or you can just unmute if you want to say something. I can also, we have time, I could also do a little reading from the Dhammapada, which we haven't done in quite a few times. So I can do that too, if you would like.
Thanks. I will.
Okay, Andy, yeah.
Hi. You know, it's interesting that you brought that up, because something, you know, I've been taught followed teachings for so many years that says, you know, we need to look inside ourselves and things like that. And I always, in the past, was able to recognize that I need to change me rather than trying to change other people. And I'm really, really struggling with it now, because I do exactly what I believe you're saying is not what we should be doing, which is, you know, all the freedom people I know that continue to wear the mask, you know, or keep their kids in the schools. I can't seem to let it go, to be, you know, thinking that they're the reason, you know, like I'm blaming them. And even though I know it's like not beneficial to blame anyone, it's hard for me not to, like, you know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, the people that are brainwashed, I understand them still wearing masks and things. But the people that are freedom people, that no wearing a mask is wrong, no keeping their kids in the schools is wrong and dangerous on so many levels, not besides just that they've been, the schools have been promoting the shots for so many years, but the whole gender thing, I mean, the schools are just so completely destructive. And, you know, so it's like, I feel like the freedom people are the ones that I need to work at waking up. And yet, I don't know, based on what you're saying, I'm wondering, you know, are we, I mean, I'm sure we're supposed to be spreading the word out there. But I'm wondering, what do I do? Because I'm just so lost now with, you know, I get frustrated with my own life because there are so many things I cannot do because my freedoms have been taken away. They're like automatic curfews within so many places or businesses that have gone out of business. And just on so many levels, I'm feeling it already, where I know some other people are not feeling it quite so strong yet. And so, you know, part of me says, okay, are they giving in to these places because they have low self-esteem? Because I know I have made horrible mistakes in my life when I didn't feel comfortable enough within myself to speak up or stand out. So I was almost wondering, you know, do we need some self-support group where we teach people to stand up, or should I just not be trying to change them? But I mean, I don't know. So I'm just lost. I want to get them to have courage to stop complying. But should I be looking more at myself? You know, I don't know. I'm like lost.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy. Yeah, I definitely think those are great questions. And I think underlying everything really is this basic sense that we have, each one of us has our unique perspective that we've developed and our unique style and way of living and understanding the world. And like you say, you have compassion for the people who are really brainwashed, but you feel like the ones who are sort of half awake or more awake should be really like that, like as awake as you are, or
yeah,
as strongly committed to never complying with tyranny. Like, you know, like in veganism,
yeah,
there's lots of different ways people do it. Some people will eat an egg now and then, or eat some dairy now and then, or, you know, or eat some fish now and then, and it's like, no, no, I wouldn't, or eat some honey, no, no, I wouldn't, I'd wear some wool, no, I wouldn't do that. You know, there's different level, and we can get all upset that they're wearing a little wool, or they're doing this, don't they realize that it's causing suffering to other beings? But I think, you know, the thing is, we have to understand that, and I love it really that you're so sensitive to the efforts that are being made to turn human beings into livestock, because that's what's happening. And we are in a critical time, I feel. I mean, because
yeah,
it's if we as human beings don't awaken out of, don't rouse ourselves out of complacency, then we will continue down a path of having our basic freedoms taken away. And it's not good. I mean, in the big picture, I mean, in the smaller picture, in the big picture, I think it's bigger, but still, it's terrible when you think of what we've done to cows and chickens and pigs over the last 10,000 years, right? I mean, we stole their freedom. And they really suffer. I mean, for that, while they're here, we brutally, horribly abuse them. And it's not just theoretical. I mean, they're born into slavery and born into sexual abuse and born into violent physical abuse, and then and having their everything stolen, their meaning of their lives stolen, and then being brutally killed. And it's all unnecessary. There's no nutrients in any of it that we need to do all that to these animals. We just do it because people are addicted to comfort and to being like everybody around them. They don't want to be different. They just want to, and are sort of numb to the consequences of their actions. So I know you want to shake all these people you who you think you should know better, and say, look, if you do what you're doing and continue to sacrifice your children in these schools and just have their minds be ruined, we're in trouble. You know, we have to be more consequent. But the thing, of course, is that, you know, I've been trying to do this for 43 years to get people to go vegan, and I realized it's just the more we can bring our own lives to a higher vibrational level where we just pull people somehow to that realization, I think it's more effective ultimately. And we don't want to have our own body being toxified by frustration and anxiety and anger and all these things. And so I think like what I did was write books and do lectures, and that's what we're doing, you know, just kind of get the word out and feel good about that. And I think you're doing a lot of that. I mean, you're creating you know, literature and things you can hand out to people and saying. I think if we don't speak our truth, then it turns sour inside of us, and we get more and more bitter, and we start hating humanity or something. You know, that happens to a lot of people too. So I think we have to, you know, be loving and realize people are wounded. They're afraid to be different. They just want to go along to get along. And, you know, the more we can create some kind of a context to help people overcome that, the better it is. But to really come from a place where we're not judging them, because that, really, they, people feel it, and then they just turn off, and then we don't get anywhere. I mean, they just ignore us, you know. So I think it's great to just, you know, I don't have answers. I mean, it's important to understand that the real answers come from us. The person who's asking the question has the answer. And I used to ask my old Zen teacher, I used to say, gosh, you know, what should I do? And he would never tell me. He would just say, well, I think if you use your intuition, you'll figure it out. He wouldn't tell me. You know, I knew he knew. He was an enlightened Zen master. You know, he knew, but he wouldn't tell me. You know, I think that's part of it. You know, I could see by the way he lived his life, I could learn from that. You know, I could learn things. And so we're here on this earth to learn and to also teach, right, by our example. It's huge. Your example is huge. It's really huge. It's more, bigger than you ever think. And your creations, whatever you create, goes out into the world. And we're always creating, really, our gestures, whatever it is. So I think just keep trying to stay at a high vibratory level. Because what they really want is to pull people down and get us fighting with each other. You know, that's the worst thing. So to try to keep a sense of solidarity with other people and focus on the good that they're doing and try to emphasize even more of that. So thank you. We have a few hands up.
Thanks, Tams.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. Tams, would you like to say something? And then also Dominique.
Actually, Dominique was first.
Oh, okay, sorry. Dominique, yeah. Thanks, Tams.
That's kind, Tams. Hi, everybody. So I just wanted to share lately, not just lately, but lately a few months, maybe a year or so, I've been thinking, because I started feeling pains in my chest area, and I'm like, I'm healthy. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't eat badly. I eat pretty well, and sometimes I do eat, quote-unquote, vegan junk food, but on the greater scope of it, I eat pretty healthy, and so it was very odd. And then I've gone to see the doctor a few times. I've taken cayenne pepper in the middle of the night, thinking, am I going to have a heart attack? I mean, it's been a really interesting ride. But no fret. I'm good. I'm healthy. I've got a good bill of health. But what I came to realize is, because it's not just Dominique, especially women, many women, heart disease. Of course, I started, you know, studying and reading up on it to self-medicate, like medicate, or with herbs, etc. And I found it's interesting that in this time where the feminine is being attacked or not being nourished, women on some level are also feeling that, and the physical heart is ailing, and it's coming out as symptomology for people who are in tune with that and people who are not in tune with that. And they're saying it's heart disease, but the underlying current of it is the heart of Gaia, of Mother Earth. And so I was, and I too, like Andy and everybody else, you know, am in communities where, well, they should know. I mean, like, this is what they preach, but they should know. And that was adding to what was adding to my stress, aside from the stress that I feel was causing that disruption within me electrically, which is why I was feeling something in my heart, because the condition of my heart is fine. So I was feeling something energetically. And I thought, well, you know, it's interesting. So I said, instead of trying to talk with them, I will go into my heart and I will be in my heart, and I will, whether it's in thought, you know, drinking a cup of coffee on my balcony and looking out into the sun, or, you know, just as you said earlier about meditation doesn't have to be being quiet. It could be listening to music. It could be playing the piano, which was absolutely beautiful, by the way. I thought, what a way to start a morning like that with a family. Just, that was absolutely gorgeous. So thank you very much, Dr. Tunnell, for that. So anyway, to wrap up my point, for me, I've been inspired to just go into my heart and know that let people be where they are. They, consciousness is shifting. At the right time, they will shift. But as long as I can be in my space and be the vegan or the plant-based or that which I want, I would love to see transform in the world and create from that space, whether it's an event, you know, a fashion show, an art show, a dinner, and in the conversation say, oh yeah, I'm a vegan. You didn't know. And say, wow, what a cool vegan this chick is. That's kind of cool. I didn't, you're a vegan. You look great. Yeah. You didn't know vegans are not all crazed. And then, you know, then we plant a seed in their mind. But at the same time, we can heal our heart and help heal others' hearts, because we're all interconnected, and then in turn help Gaia's heart. So that was my
point. Right. Thank you, Dominique. That's very well said, very articulate and beautiful. I appreciate that. We're just about at our closing time. We try to keep this to 1 hour, but go ahead, Tams. We'd love to just hear what you were hoping to share with us here.
Well, thank you. I'll try to make it brief. This is to ask you opinion, your guidance on Buddhist discernment, and here's the scenario. So when I was young, I graduated early at 16, and I left, and I traveled for a long time, like 7 years, and then I settled into my life and eventually awoke to become vegan and have been detaching since. I mean, I haven't watched TV for 13 years, just numerous detachment things. But now as I approach my Franciscan profession, someone let me stay at their house out here. I'm in Tucson for 5 weeks. We'll be driving back on Saturday. And Katie and Micah, my creature companion friends, they travel really well. So whenever we travel, we go somewhere together. But in this process of discernment in Tucson, where I've been hiking in the desert and everything, I feel very attracted again to somehow letting go of my lease and maybe getting an RV and traveling full time. I see the benefits of it from a vegan perspective for all creatures, where I can immediately make friends wherever I go. But my thought is this: am I really detaching more if I let go of my lease, or am I just doing something I equally enjoy? Am I using it for an excuse? And I'm doing my Christian discernment on this, but I would love to hear your thoughts about discernment when you like both options, and there are benefits to both options, but you're totally stuck in decision. How do you, and I am meditating and things, but what would you suggest a person can do to really dig down into that discernment?
Well, you can, you know, I think there's different ways of looking at it. You know, you have these two, like a fork in the road, and the idea is that you as a being will choose one of those. And so it's you know, right now you're not sure which being you are, if you're the one that goes in the RV route, or either one that stays in the rental unit where you are. And so that's, yeah, there's different techniques. I mean, you know, getting quiet and listening and feeling into if one of them just seems to pull you in a positive, bright light kind of way more than the other one does. I found journaling can be helpful, writing with the dominant hand, and then try writing with the non-dominant hand and just see what comes out as you're writing about it. And then there's different things. I mean, you can, you know, go into nature like you're doing and just open up to, like, on a vision question, and really see what is the vision of my life, how does it fit in the bigger picture, and also realize that the best, there really isn't a best. I mean, whatever you do, it'll be perfect, you know, so you can kind of not worry about that. But the idea is that there's something that's pulling, and the outcome that is pulling, it'll reveal itself to you, and there's different ways it can do that. It can do it as a feeling. You can do it maybe as an omen of some kind. You know, you can, you know, just kind of feel into the different ways that it could come to you. And ultimately, you know, people have used the I Ching, for example. That's kind of interesting. You could do it in the really old-fashioned way, and you just point, you know, formulate the question and then use the sticks. I like that better than the coins. We do that. We did that when we were deciding whether to go on the RV or stay in the lease. We had the same decision, you know, and we did the I Ching, and it was kind of interesting. We got kind of like, okay. And we thought we were going to do it for just, you know, a year, and we ended up doing it for 17 years, living on the road in an RV. I mean, God, we loved it. I mean, it was fantastic. But you know, it's everybody has to do what's right at that time. And, but that's another, you know, a possibility too. But, hopefully that's helpful. And you know, I remember at one point I was wondering about something like that, and I remember kind of talking to my old Zen teacher about it, and he held out his hand like this with these two fingers, and he said, okay, well, choose one. So I chose one of his two fingers, and he said, see, who you are, chose that one. It's all so easy. So anyway, but the whole idea is that you will know, and the good thing is whatever it is, you can't really go wrong, because it'll come back again. If it was really, something will condition you. I mean, we'll speak to you, and you'll come back. So those are some of the thoughts I have. Those are things that, you know, we all go through in life, I think, these ideas. And Krishnamurti talked about choiceless awareness, which is really dwelling in the place where you don't even make choices. You just let yourself be an instrument of the universe, and you just give up your own self-will, and you allow the universe to function through you, and you don't even make a choice. You just know. You just go. I mean, that's a pure meditative state, and that's what we can aim for, I guess, is that capacity to just let life, you know, our higher wisdom just guide us all the time without a little mind getting in there and trying to figure things out all the time. Because it doesn't have to make any logical sense. It could be, you could make a list of 10 reasons, you know, you, like make a, divide a paper in half, and you have like 50 reasons why you should stay and only one reason why you should go or whatever. But that one reason might be more than all the 50 of the others, right? It doesn't have to be rational. It's important to remember that. You don't have to defend your decision. All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Let's have our closing. It's already, you know, past time, and Madeline's here waiting. And so let's say our prayer. Unmute your microphones if you'd like. It's always nice to do that. And we'll look forward to seeing everyone on the third Thursday of this month, if you're in the circle. Okay, here we go. Together. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Okay, again. Compassion is circles of the earth for all beings everywhere. Beautiful. And one more time with feeling. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. Thank you, everyone. We love you. And
thank you.
Thank
you.
You.
Thank I love
us.
You all.
Yeah, we love you all. Thanks.
Namaste, Megan.
All right.
Namaste.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bobby.